Replacing Plastic and Foam with Fiber, a Practical Guide. From Axiom Global Packaging Solutions. Replacing plastic and foam with fiber is not a material swap. The two families protect products by different physical mechanisms, so a one-for-one substitution, same geometry, new material, is the most reliable way to fail a drop test and conclude, wrongly, that fiber cannot do the job. Start by naming what the plastic is actually doing. Before you can replace it, be precise about its function. In most packs, the plastic or foam is doing one or more of cushioning, absorbing impact energy by compressing, as apes does. Immobilization, stopping the product moving inside the box. Abrasion protection, keeping a finished surface from rubbing. Barrier, moisture, oxygen, grease. Sterile or tamper-evident containment, a regulated function. These have different fiber answers, and a couple have none. Most, we tried fiber and it failed, stories are a cushioning problem being solved with an immobilization part, or a barrier problem being handed to uncoated board. The mechanism swap. Apes cushions by crushing, its cells collapse progressively and absorb energy over a distance. Fiber structures mostly do something else, they immobilize and distribute. Molded pulp and corrugated fitments hold the product away from the wall and spread the load into panels and columns, and they get their energy absorption from geometry, ribs, flanges, crumple features, and the deflection of the panel itself. The practical consequence is that fiber designs are more sensitive to shape than foam designs. A foam block with the wrong profile still cushions, just inefficiently. A molded pulp tray with the wrong rib layout can be nearly rigid, which transmits the shock straight into the product. See the table in the article for the figures. Cushion behavior is a curve, not a number. Cushioning performance depends on the static load, the product weight spread over the bearing area, and on the drop height. Foam data is usually published as cushion curves for exactly this reason. The same foam is excellent at one loading and useless at another. Fiber structures have their own behavior, and it is generally less forgiving across a range of loads. So do not carry the foam's bearing area over to the fiber part. Recalculate it. A fiber fitment that is oversized for the product's mass can be too stiff to deflect, and one that is undersized bottoms out. Both look like fiber does not work. Coatings, where recyclability quietly dies. Moisture is the usual reason a fiber pack needs help, and coating is the usual answer, but the coating decides whether you have actually solved the sustainability problem or just moved it. Wax coatings and wax impregnation perform well and are typically not ripple-able. A wax-coated box is generally not recoverable in a standard mill stream. Water-based dispersion coatings can offer real moisture resistance while remaining ripple-able, but ripple-able is a claim that should be tested and accepted by the recovery stream you are actually sending it to, not assumed from a datasheet. Pre-lamination gives a strong barrier and makes fiber recovery hard. The right question is not, is it recyclable, in the abstract? It is it recoverable in the stream this pack will actually reach, in the country it is opened in? Those answers differ across India, APAC and the US, and a pack that is ripple-able in one market may not be recovered in another. When plastic is still the right answer. Fiber first means plastic is the exception that must be justified, not that plastic is banned. Justifiable cases include barrier critical goods, moisture or oxygen sensitive products where fiber plus a compliant coating still cannot hold the spec. Sterile barrier and regulated medical packaging, where the containment function is validated and not casually redesigned. Extreme cushioning of high value fragiles, where the drop energy is beyond what a fiber geometry can absorb in the available space. Cold chain with condensation exposure that would collapse fiber structure. Reusable and returnable systems, where a durable plastic tote used hundreds of times can beat single-use fiber on total footprint. Counting only the material in front of you gives the wrong answer here. Substituting where it does not work produces damage, and damage is both a cost and an environmental loss. A destroyed product carries far more embodied carbon than the packaging that failed to protect it. Retest, and expect the conditioning to matter more. Any substitution invalidates the previous transit report. Rerun the matching profile, ASTM D4169 for the distribution cycle, or the relevant ISTER profile, and ASTM D642 where compression is in play. Condition the samples to 23C, 50% RH, and pay closer attention to it than you did with foam. Foam barely notices humidity. Fiber does. A molded pulp fitment and a corrugated case both lose stiffness as they take on moisture, so a fiber pack validated only in dry conditions has been validated for a life it may not lead. Sequence that tends to work. Audit what each plastic component is doing, function by function. Take the immobilization and void fill rolls first. These are the cheapest wins and really need cushioning physics. Redesign cushioning parts as geometry, not as blocks. Prototype, drop, iterate. Solve barrier last, and choose the coating against the recovery stream, not the datasheet. Retest the full pack, conditioned. Score the result for recycled content and carbon per SKU so the claim you make later is one you can show you're working for.